We're going to discuss tonight a topic in which I'm particularly interested. One of the most practical aspects of Onah, as well as one of the most interesting from a conceptual basis, and not only that, but bonus, it's relevant to other areas of Chosh and Mishpat too. We're learning about Onah, we're going to learn about Mekachtos and Mumim, we're going to learn about when you can ask for your money back, when not. Frequently, the stores have policies which diverge from Din Torah. No returns, return even for a minor mum. The policy can give you more rights than Din Torah, but we're focusing tonight on policies that restrict your rights, that give, let's say the buyer who overpays or buys something defective, that limits the right of the buyer to claim Onah or Mum. The question is, do these policies, are these enforceable al pi Din Torah? Now again, we have several cases. We have an industry-wide or within the context of a certain type of deal, there can be policies, there can be laws, there can be minhagim, there can be specific policies of stores, there can be policies written on the wall, policies marked on the package itself. But in general, the broad general question is, are policies or minhagim that restrict the party that was injured, that limit his rights, that make them more restrictive and that give him less rights, fewer rights, and he has al pi Din Torah, are these policies valid under the halacha? So, we're learning this week, the Shulchan Aruch we begin with tonight is the famous halacha of Amar l'chaver al menashe ein lecha alay onah, yesh lo lav onah. We pass in like Shmuel, if a person makes a tnai, an explicit tnai on his transaction, that it should not be governed by onah, that the injured party shall have no right, no recourse to invoke the law of onah, that does not work. You can be mefarish. There is a way to make it work. If you stipulate exactly what the onah is, and you say, I know there's onah of X amount, or similar halachas when we get to mum, there'll be similar halachas, I know there exists a mum of such and such, I know the engine of this car is bad, I'm buying it anyway, fine, you can stipulate if you know what the onah is. But it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that a general catch-all thing, that I waive any claim of onah, it seems that does not work. So the question is, does that pretty much say that all these policies are not enforceable, or are these policies better for some reason or another? So one of the key questions, perhaps the key question, is the idea of minhag. One of the most important ideas in all of Chosh and Mishpat is the idea of holchan achar minhag. Famous Yerushalmi, the poskim always quote, minhag mevatel halacha, minhag can in some sense override halacha. So the question is, the main question I want to consider is, if the policy is widespread within an industry, within a certain type of store, within a certain type of sale, if this is a widespread policy, commonly followed, commonly understood, does the power of minhag override the basic halacha? You yourself maybe can't stipulate on menashe ein lecha alay or not. But if this is a generally followed policy, maybe it has the status of minhag, and maybe it works anyway. And indeed, there are poskim who say this. There is a tshuva in the Radvaz. The Radvaz passes like this. The Radvaz says that if the policy of no returns is a minhag, then there's nothing to talk about, then you always follow the minhag, meaning the batal halacha, and that's the end of the story. And the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch himself seems to take this view. Later in Reish Lamed Beis, that's the siman of Mum and Amekach, we have a fairly rare example of the Shulchan Aruch, a sif in Shulchan Aruch, which is actually the Beis Yosef's own ruling, something he says in the Beis Yosef, not quoting Rishonim. The halacha is that Beis Yosef brings from Rishonim that Hamocher Bein L'Chaveirov Nimtza Muzaros. You buy eggs and it turns out that they are Muzaros. Pirush Shehiskel Es Havas Batsur Es Efrach. They already started to form into chicks and that's not desirable in your egg. Sheinam Ruim L'Chila, you can't eat them. So having Mechaktos, Machzor Sadalim. Rishonim says Mechaktos, you wanted edible eggs, you got inedible eggs. That is Mechaktos. Now the Mechaber adds one line of his own ruling, the Achshav Lo Nagu Kein, we don't practice this halacha, Minig Mevatel Halacha. Mechaber brings the language of that Yerushalmi, Minig Mevatel Halacha, even though Meikra Din, this is Mechaktos, Lemaisa, we don't do that because Minig Mevatel Halacha. So again, that sounds like the Radvaz, it sounds like the idea that you can have a Minig that overrides these rules of normally a Mum or a No, you have to specify, the only way to be Mochel is to know in advance how much there is, know exactly what the No is, exactly what the Mum is, and say you're Mochel. Minhag overrides the native halacha. There is a dissenting view. There are tshuvas both from the Tshura Shai, as well as from the Beis Shlomo, who disagree. And they make what I think logically is a very powerful argument. They argue, it's true, we find all over Shulchan Aruch, all over Chazon Mishpah, we find the idea of minhag, of minhag mevatel halacha. Those are cases where a person stipulates something which is against in Torah. If he would stipulate, it would work. And if he didn't stipulate, the minhag is as though he stipulated. That's where a person himself has the power to do such a thing. So, for example, kinyan situmta. The halacha is midaraisa, midrabanan. There are lists of kinyanim for karka, for metaltalin, for other types of assets. There are certain types of kinyanim. And the Torah says, you yourself can stipulate another type of kinyan. That's the power the Torah gave you. And even, according to some poskim, for davar shel bala olam, even for certain types of things where kinyan batsim doesn't work at all, still, there are shittas in the poskim, it's machlokas, but there are shittas in the poskim, that if there's a minag works, even on a davar shel bala olam. Even though be'etzim you can't make a kinyan on it, but that's the power that the halacha gives you, that if a person wants to do it and there's a generally widespread minag to do it, minag has such a power. But here, when it comes to ana, these poskim say, the Beis Shlomo and the Tshura Shai, where even if you explicitly say that you want to be machil ana, it doesn't work, and the Gemara says, why not? Because l'yada de machil, even though we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda that says, mas mal shekatzu b'Torah b'darash ha'mam antinah o'kayim, that generally you have the right to make a tanai against in Torah, that's only when you know exactly what you're getting into. For example, a husband and wife get married, and they stipulate that the normal mutual obligations of money, of the husband maintaining the wife, some of the other obligations that are considered money, if they're machna, they shouldn't apply, they know exactly what they're talking about, and they're machal. So it's, as an arichus about this, about how mas b'tarah darash ha'mamon is based on mechila, whatever it is, you can be machal, you can be machna that it shouldn't work. But ana, the Gemara says, is lo yada de machal. If you don't know there's ana, unless you specify, I know there's ana, I know how much ana there is, and I'm machal it, you can't just say in a general way, of general vague way, that you're machal ana. It says the Tshura Shai and the Beis Shlomo, so who cares as a minhag? Self kol self, you don't know you're being machal. Minhag is, it's as though you said it. It makes it more powerful, even something that a kinyan doesn't work on, here it works, it can have a more powerful kinyan. But if even an explicit hasna doesn't work because lo yada de kamachal, minhag can't make that any better. Minhag should have no power to improve that. The Beis Shlomo was just writing in the abstract, in a general case, he's coming to be cholik on a marashtam. The tshuva of the marashtam seems to hold like the Radvaz, like the Beis Yosef, if that minhag does work. And the Beis Shlomo says absolutely not. Tzarechi and Gadol, he doesn't accept this. The Erech Shai, with the Tshura Shai, was talking about a Maisa Shehaya, where actual case, I don't know if it's relevant, but it was an interesting case. There was a cemetery that was replacing its wooden fence with a stone fence. So they were junking the old wooden fence, so they were selling it off. They were selling it off at auction for scrap lumber. And somebody bid and won, and then he felt he had overpaid and he wanted to claim or not. So there's extensive literature in the poskim whether auctions are subject to or not. Perhaps we'll discuss that some other time. But one of the arguments was that the minhag is that there's no claim of ana on auctions. So even if be'etzim there should be ana, the minhag is that there isn't. So that's a Tshura Shai. Who said minhag works? Since lo yada de kamachal, even an explicit stipulation wouldn't work unless you knew in advance about the ana. He's not convinced minhag is any better. At the end of the tshuva, he concedes that we do have a Shulchan Aruch who says, in the case of the eggs, the edible eggs, that minhag does work. So he doesn't explain fully what he's trying to say, but he basically makes the very important point that minhag and chashon mishpat seems to have two very different capacities. There are two very different kinds of minhag. One minhag is just a minhag created grassroots, the people are knowing a certain way. That simply means that if you don't specify, we assume that what you meant was what people generally mean. That doesn't have particularly strong powers, and that doesn't work if it's liyada de kamachal. Now, she'en kein is another kind of minhag, a minhag which was established by the leaders of the community, by chachamim. That has a din of hefker based on hefker. That's sort of like a takana, and that maybe can work even beyond what the halacha would allow. Even if there is liyada de kamachal, basin can make a takana, hefker based on hefker. So if the minhag was started by vasikin, it was started by the chachamim, that might be better, but an ordinary minhag of sochrim wouldn't qualify. So at the end of the day, he's not convinced that a simple practice which was adopted by merchants without any consultation with the Chachamim would have the power to override the din. We do find poskim both ways. One very interesting minhag where we find a number of poskim discuss from the 19th century on, there was a custom, not so common here in the U.S., although maybe more out of town than in town, but there was a custom when they sold esrogim, they would sell them in sealed boxes, kufsaot, tzigurot, and the esrog might be worth more or less than you paid for it. And it'll be a shayla of ana, might even be a shayla of mum if it was possel. So the question was, can you return an esrog that is possel? But today I think the understanding is if an esrog is possel, you can return it, although not necessarily if the quality is simply lower or higher than you expected. But the poskim in the 19th century began to discuss whether such types of transactions have ana or not, nechatos. And again, it was a pretty widespread custom, and some poskim invoked the language of minna. So for example, the Piskei Tshuva in Reish Lamed Beis. Piskei Tshuva is going on the... Piskei Tshuva is going on one of the halachas in Reish Lamed Beis where there is nechatos, but he says if there's a minnag, then the din changes. Minnag v'batla halacha. Brings the raya from the eggs, that minag overrides the native rules of ana and mechachtos. Yesh lachker achra minag, you always have to find out the minag, and he says, Hu adin b'shar dvarim, shederach l'machor and stumim v'chasumim, kimo shehen. For example, they used to sell boxes of plates of glass, used to be sold like that without the careful inspection of, I guess, the condition they were in. Sounds odd, but that's what they used to do. Or the other example is, tevos mesrog. Basin has to investigate the minhag, and if there's a minhag, he takes for granted that minhag will override the halacha. Rav Shlomo Kluger also in the Chokhmah Shlomo says that this practice of selling esrogim is fine, even if al pi din it wouldn't work, because minhag allows it to work, even if an explicit stipulation might not work, but minhag allows it to work. On the other hand, there's a Tshuva in the Shem Aryeh who is very upset about this custom. He says he's seen it done for many years, and he himself has never bought an esrog like this. He says sight unseen because he's very concerned about the possibility of, not that he's worried about not getting a good esrog, but he's worried about esrog has to be lachem. He doesn't want there to be any shayla of gezel in his esrog. And he's really not convinced, he says, that transactions, he does not directly address the question of minhag, but he clearly acknowledges that it's a widespread minhag, and still he feels that there's a serious problem with the Kenyan hair, that there's a serious problem of, he doesn't use the words or no, he calls him a sach bekuvia, related sugyas, but he pretty clearly feels that just because there is a minhag, that doesn't mean that can simply override the basic halachas that the Torah and Chazal established about ona and mechachtos. Another example, we find the Piskei Tshuva earlier in our siman in Reish Chaf Zayin. Piskei Tshuva brought a Tshuva in the Knesset Yecheskel who says there was a certain city that in the jewelry business, which is apparently then as now was a major Jewish business. Piskei Tshuva says that there was a certain community that had extensive industry of jewelry, and people often claimed ona. The problem was that it was very hard to do business this way. People were constantly trying to overturn sales based on ona. It was felt that this was very bad for business. So the community wanted to misakein that there should be no claim of ona, but the community said, Chas v'shalom, we don't want it to be against din Torah. So they made the takana in a limited, careful way so that it could be going according to certain shitas, and they explained that that for tikkun olam you have the right to say we're passing like a certain shita, even if it's not the majority view. But they did it very carefully. They didn't want to blatantly overturn the halacha of ona. So again, the question is why? If you can have a minhag, if a person can be mochel ona, even if you can't directly be mochel ona, but if you can have a minhag, the minhag is that we all understand we're not going to claim ona. Presumably, a takana of the city should be able to work in a similar way. It's not clear why a takana to go against ona should be such a problem. And indeed, we find other achronim who discuss the idea of making takanas to restrict the claim of ona. In the Sfardic work, Sonis Yosef, he has a lengthy discussion about whether a community has the right to make takanas that will restrict the right of people to claim ona. And he concludes by saying yes, based on Hefker, that as long as it's Darashur Mammon, as long as it's Mammon where people have the right to be Mochel, Basin has the right, the power to make takanas, which would limit the claims of Ona. That's not considered going against in Torah. But the Knesset Yecheskel apparently felt that it was. Again, he's not talking about a Minhag, but he's talking about a Takana, but the idea seems to be a similar idea. He felt that it's not proper, it's not legitimate to make a Takana that directly contravenes the rules of Ona. There's a Tshuva in the Marsham. Marsham talks about the classic case we're talking about of a condition in a sale that no returns, in his case it was no returns after 8 days, which Alpidin was when in certain cases you would have the right to return things even after 8 days. The question was again, does such a condition work Alpidin Tara? Marsham does invoke Minog, but not entirely to say a Minog can go against the Halacha. The Marsham held that according to some Shitas, in his case, for reasons we'll get to when we do Siman Reish Lamed Beis, there were certain Shitas that said that it would work. There's a Shita, for example, the Magen Mishnah Shita he brings, that any Mum which was visible at the time of the sale and could have been easily and conveniently inspected by the buyer who chose not to do so, his declining to do so itself constitutes a waiver of any claim. Machlokas will be passing like that, a big machlokas. Marsham says if you have such a tnai, then there's a minig to do it, we can say the minig is to passing like that shita. But again, the Marsham seems to be assuming that you can't simply have a minhag which overturns the halacha. If the minig directly contradicts the halacha, that would be inappropriate. Meidach Gisa, the Marsham himself, in other places, quotes poskim who give examples of minhagim that did contradict the basic rules of Anah. So, for example, the Marsham in his Mishpat Shalom brings from the Meskeres HaShulchan, one of the classic Ashkenazic works in Chashon Mishpat, collections of Minhagim and other such rules, that Mikra Din, the halacha is, that if you buy an animal and you find that it has a mum that makes it a trefa, if you can prove that mum was already there at the time of the sale, you find a hole in the lung or a hole in the stomach. So if you shechted the animal a week after you bought it, you're generally not going to get your money back because you can't prove that hole actually predated the sale. But in certain cases where forensically you can determine the hole was already there, then, or it was something congenital, something like that, you could ask for your money back at the Mechachtos. But the Meskeres HaShulchan, the Marsham bring that the woman hug him that for the sake of having a stable and workable commerce in butcher commerce, the people felt that we're not going to allow reversals of sale based on that, and that works. Minig mevatel halacha. That's another example of poskim did feel that menhagim would be allowed to overturn the halacha. And again, they bring the example of the eggs, the zaraya, that when there's a minig that certain transactions should not be subject to the ordinary rules of onah and mechatos, of onah and mum, even if a person's on an individual basis, his explicit stipulation wouldn't work. If there's a minag, then we say minag mevatel halacha, and the laws of onah and mechatos don't apply. One last case I'll mention in the Chinuch Beis Yehuda. He talks about a case where they used to trade. There was an industry. There was a market for animals, horses or cattle, and people again felt that allowing any kind of mum would interfere too much with commerce. They wanted to limit the types of movement. There were four categories of movement, four types of movement which would be allowable claims. All other movement would be not valid. There would be no claim for any other movement. Why these four were allowed more than others, I don't know. You have to be there. You have to understand the business, I guess. He doesn't even tell you what these four categories were, but this was apparently a citywide custom. And again, he discusses whether such a minhag would be allowed to overturn the halacha. He goes back and forth, but his maskana, I think, is he seems to be inclined to the view we would not allow such a minhag against the halacha. If the minhag flatly contradicts the halacha allows any mum. It's not so pashut. Again, the idea that minhag is not better than an explicit stipulation. And since we see in our sif and in Siman Reish Lamed Beis that an explicit stipulation doesn't work, it's quite possible to say that even a minhag isn't going to be any better than that, unless it's a takana, unless it was established by Fasikin like the Shurashai says, then maybe it's better.